I like wrestling. Yeah, y'all know I like wrestling and stuff, and like none of y'all really like pay attention to it. But like the dudes that y'all do know, The Undertaker retired. And I know years ago y'all might have, I thought he was, no, he really retired. Like he's in the Hall of Fame. He's done. It's over. Niggas
Technically.
was, I saw a grown man cry to that grown tattooed, just all around braided niggas just stand there and just, it was sad, bro. Did I cry? Of course.
You
That shit
cried
was sad.
at the Undertaker retiring?
Yes, nigga. If you don't, well, you don't care about
Yes, I
the
don't care about anything enough to cry. I was literally about to be like, what are you gonna say? What are you gonna say? If
if a lawyer retired, now I know you
oh,
don't give a shit
don't
about
care.
that.
People
God damn.
retiring from their job just means they retire, especially when it comes to entertainment people. When you retire, that's like when Jay-Z retired the first, second, and third time. I was like, dog, you rap. Like, you could always rap. You
It's
know what I'm saying?
still a sport, even though it's fake. That shit
No.
hurts.
It definitely is still a
Sitting
sport.
down, and you saw that nigga get knocked out. You saw
I
Shane
told
Vaughn get
you
knocked out.
the first time I actually had to cover a wrestling thing for the press, that's when I actually saw wrestling up close. And yeah, it's serious.
Yeah, Shane Thorne got knocked out. Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm like, if you rapping, you can sit in a chair. I've seen on video Big Punisher, 500 pounds, eat a table full of food and go,
That's true. That's true. He had fantastic breath control for somebody that size. Like, I don't think we really look back and look at the amount of air that Punisher had to work with.
yeah.
And to be that size and still maintaining it is impressive. But I feel like that also goes back to his early boxing career. So I mean, the man was in shape at one point. You know what I mean? Things happen. Things happen. But yeah, okay, so the Undertaker, that's done. Like, what do wrestlers do when they retire?
They just go and do interviews about shit that, they didn't talk about
Move to
before.
Florida.
They all live in Florida.
Yeah. Just live in Florida. Go
Yeah.
to.
Actually, wait, he lives out here. He's from Houston, so never mind.
Oh,
He lives out here.
okay. Well, that's sad. Real Houstonian.
He's a
Shots
real
out.
Houston.
Shots out to the Undertaker.
Shouts out to the Undertaker, one of U of H's basketball players and whatnot. But he's so Houston, just like we're so Houston, and that's why we're in this city, because we're black and ugly as ever. Ever I stay Houston down to my socks, so no one know. It's them again. It's them boys. From in my humble opinion, I am Avery, like a very nice guy, also known as what am I today? I can't remember. What am I? I'm not just Avery. I'm what's my name again? The Avery. THEE underscore AVERI. The Avery, you could find me on everything under that. And also I'm Vince McMahon's. I'm the guy that makes the memes for all the Houston artists. Yeah, I have that. That's my Twitter. And that's also my Instagram, VINC underscore MCBANDZ. Vince McMahon owns WWE, Vince McMahon's. Ha ha, wrestling, because I like it. And there's my brother there. You said what?
We understood the joke. It didn't have to be explained. We get it.
No, some people don't. All right. There's
Yeah.
my brother right
Yeah.
there below, or whatever he is on the corner on the camera. Just Devon, ladies and gentlemen.
That's me. That's me. You'll be happy to know I went to a Grammy event yesterday and my chair collapsed. Like, I didn't tell you about that part. My chair collapsed underneath me. I fell down. My feet went up in the air. It was wild. If somebody has that video, please. I hope it goes viral. I hope post it because I felt like a cartoon character. Because them new chairs, like the new ones, you know how back in the day they had the full metal chair? The new chair that's mostly plastic, like, and I imagine. Like, I felt the give when I sat down, and eventually it gave. You know what I'm saying? Eventually it gave. It took a couple of hours, but it gave out. And it gave out at the worst time. It was the end of the show. There was a gentleman doing a fantastic version of James Brown. He was up there on stage, lights was going off. I think he was doing Get On Up, which is wild. I don't misquote me all that, because if he wasn't, it was, that's what I pictured in my head, but that's what I saw. I was watching him and then I was looking at the ceiling. So yeah, I say all that to say, dog, bring metal chairs back, like full metal. Like, I know we cheaped out and we did the plastic joints, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't think anybody feels comfortable sitting in them chairs. I know I'm a larger dude, but still, there were larger people in the audience and smaller. We were all in danger. Like, I'm just glad that I took the fall so these chairs didn't wind up in a church service this morning and an older person fall in them. You know what I'm saying? So basically, that's me telling you I'm a hero. All right, back to the show.
You really are. You're a legend of the fall. That's where can they find you?
That was corny as hell. Hey, it's just Devon on Twitter, and then it's Dr. Dougla on everything else. Oh, of course, my humble low. I was fine. I did the thing you do when you fall in front of a large group of people. You check the chair to act like, oh, let me fix the chair. You know goddamn well that chair broken. Like, that chair done. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I was up there. I got the chair back into chair mode, but it just fell on its own weight at that point. I just moved to the chair next to me and just acted like nothing happened. So, yeah, that was pretty much it. The
chair didn't fall on its own weight.
No. The second time the chair was up. You know what I'm saying? But what was broken was broken. It's done. It's done.
It is what it is. And like you said, you can find this at My Humble O on everything. My Humble O. Look at that. I got lotion in my nose. I'm looking at my nose. I was like, nigga, you look like you've been snorting cocaine. Okay. No.
They just lost their job because of that. Now, some prime minister over in Europe got a picture of himself, and next to him is definitely a plate of cocaine. Like, it's a plate of cocaine. And my man with the worst lie ever said, oh, that's not cocaine. I collect my dandruff. This is a real story.
Wait, that really happened?
Man was elected. He was like, he goes, that's just a weird thing I do. Sometimes I collect my dandruff on a plate and I just leave it in the kitchen. That's just months of dandruff collected. I said, dog, that first of all, this is nastier than the original story. You could have easily been like, dog, that was somebody had a coke plate. This ain't even my house. You know what I'm saying? There are so many things you could have said, but yeah. Either way, look up that story. It's ridiculous.
Go ahead, back to the show.
We're not a cocaine advocate over
here. Wow, that took my momentum.
My bad.
But it is what it is.
Let me give it back to you. I fell out of a chair. Go ahead.
You did fall out of a chair. God. I mean, look. All right. Basically, what it is like this. Okay. We listen to a lot of music, right? And with that, you find certain artists that you really gravitate to. Me personally, I gravitate to a lot of different people. As you know, I made my rap debut. I didn't rap. I was just doing stuff. But a lot of people you listen to, I've heard, like, there's just different types of art. Art is subjective, and whatever people deem as art usually comes from a deep place. Our next guest, lyrics are as deep as it comes, yet it jams with heavy-ass bass lines. Where's the good in the life you chose? If you gonna be in a daze, you know, where's the good if you cannot be called to be who you really want to be? Where's the good in life you chose? If you want to trade with me, you perform no matter where you are. You're scared to be authentic. That's deep. I did it no justice because I just be reading. This is from the song Happy. This is the realest shit I've heard today. I can't be the first one to describe her as a trap Michael Jackson, all right? Rapping and singing. All in all, you can't define the vibe that it has. Houston native, but she's gonna tell you more than I can. Call it what you want, a boy. Here she is with In My Humble Opinion podcast with R&R Volume 2 and other projects like Au Contraire on your phone right now, Jet the Third. You gotta keep going.
How's it going?
I will. It's going great.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, you know what? Since we are, because he quoted one of your lyrics. What were you?
Quoted a few.
We've quoted quite a few lyrics. Yeah. And we have definitely liked you for your lyrical content, but you just have like a nice vibe. Like you put it on and it's nice to listen.
The whole song is really kind of like a question to that artist. Like, yeah. You know, you may.
Are you going to talk about Kanye like that?
Nah.
I'm about to say, I feel like Kanye still feel happy. Even if we go at all.
So, yeah, I always keep that in mind.
And we're at an early stage, like in your musical career. But we like to go back because a lot of people would be like, oh, this artist popped up out of nowhere, even though this artist has been working on this craft for like 15 years. So when you really look back, like what kind of
about like 3 years after college, I was kind of like, well, I want to produce music. That's really what I wanted to do originally, was like get into production. And what I did instead was I wrote a song to a beat that I really liked. And then the reaction from people, I showed it to a few people and they were like, wow, like your pen is crazy. Like, and they really liked the song. So from there, I was just like, well, I just write music. Like, and it just grew from there. And I've been doing this. This is my fifth year writing, so.
Really? So did you ever write poetry when you were younger?
No, I actually failed 6 weeks in high school because I refused to get like vulnerable and write a poem. Like I wasn't trying to go there.
Okay.
How did you get here though? Because like we listen to a lot of people and we listen to a lot of lyrics. No offense to anybody else. Your stuff, like doing the research on you, I was like, yo, this is some of the deepest shit I've ever heard in my entire life. How do you get that open when it comes to your lyricism?
I guess I just reflect. Like my personality is very like analytical in the first place. So it's kind of, I'm always like overthinking and reflecting on things. So it's actually kind of easy. That part is kind of easy to just reflect on an instance in my life. How I felt or how, like, I observed how someone else felt and just describe it, you know?
Now, you say that part is kind of easy, so what part do you think is hard?
The part that's hard for me is probably, like, the business side of music, like, the execution, but, like, the creation part just... it just comes like naturally, it just flows. Like I have so much, you know, music, I have so much stuff I've written, but yeah, the hard part for me is the business side, I guess.
Now, even with that though, it's like you're starting to make inroads into the industry as you brand. Like we saw you at South by Southwest. We've seen like the Waxaholics have shouted you out like a number of times. You have a number of DJ groups out here in Houston that are like, oh, you got to listen to Jet the Third. What is it like seeing, you know, people that are involved in the industry start to champion your music? Given that, like you say, you're an artist that we're 5 years in. You're 5 years in, but you have a pen game that rivals a lot of people that have been in here a lot longer, especially given the fact that you're willing to be vulnerable in your music. So what is that like to see... people kind of champion your work?
It's exciting, but it's mainly exciting because I know that as a result of that, then I'll get more reach and I'll be able to, because my main goal is just to reach as many people as I can and give them like that good feeling from my music. So yeah, it's exciting.
And then even going back, like you said, you were playing basketball, right? So, and you're playing basketball all the way. What college did you go to?
So I, out of high school, I went to Texas A&M in Corpus Christi. And I hooped there for like 2 years and then I transferred to Henderson State in Arkansas.
Okay, so you're there, but then it's like once you're finished with that, you say, hey, I want to get into music production. Did you already have an ear for production? Were you already kind of dabbling in it? Is this something you ever did as a child in terms of music? Had you played any instruments, anything like that, to make you think, you know what, I'm gonna try some production?
I played the piano. I took piano lessons for like four or five years as a kid. But that's it. Other than that, yeah.
So what made you get the idea about just moving into production? A lot of people do it all the time, but I'm always interested in what makes, like, what's the driving factor that made you look at production and be like, yeah, I'm gonna try that out. I think I can handle that.
Just my love for music, and because I listen to music all the time, like, so I have a huge love for music, so I figured that I could create it. Like, I would say as a kid, but I kind of felt like maybe all kids did this, but maybe they didn't. Like, I used to make songs, you know, like in my head. Like, I make every single element, every single part of the song in my head, like in my free time. So I figured production would maybe be similar to that. So it's my love for music, really, that like got me into wanting to make it, to create it.
Sounds like Fruity Loops. Sounds exactly like what it looks like. So I can understand where you're coming from that. So when you got into music, though, did you start producing?
No, I haven't. It's like people, like I know my, I feel like my beat selection is really good. And so, no, I haven't quite got into production. It's crazy. It's like, I know Kanye almost used beats to help him get into rapping. And it's like, I want to use writing music to help me get into producing. Like, that's really what I want to get to. That's like the top level for me is when I get into that. I think I would go crazy.
You could get you a cracked version of Fruity Loops. Somebody would get it.
Yeah.
And the thing about it too is I would imagine that other artists, even when they, because, you know, like you said, Kanye used production to get into rapping, and a lot of that carried because people would hear his production, like Cameron and them were like, yo, I heard, like, let him rap what he want to rap, I want to get on that beat. You have really good production on your music as well. So do you hear rappers like, oh, I like that? Like, it just says you're just waiting for that to translate into, like, yeah, man, let me produce for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So your ultimate goal is to get into production. Who are some of the artists that you kind of looked up to as you're coming into the game?
Like my influences? Or people?
Yeah, like, influences.
Okay, so my influences, I got them here listed. All right. Is Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Sade, Outkast, Kanye, and Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
Jagged Little Pill. Okay.
Yeah. I'm about to say, I feel like everybody liked Alanis Morissette. You know, or like right when she came out. You don't sell that many records and not have that much of an influence. But Michael, Janet, who else? Alanis?
Sade. Like,
oh yeah, Sade.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I cherish
Sade. Sade's incredible. And she can release an album once every 6 years and it's gonna go to the number one. It's just automatic.
She's a vampire.
She doesn't age. You're right. She doesn't age. Coming from basketball too, and we talk about a lot of our people. We just interviewed like DJ Exo and like a number of people that are like, I play football, I play basketball, I play some level of sports. Does the competition in sports translate over to the music, or is it more of a relax? I feel like there are only two types of artists. Artists that are like, I gotta kill you with this music, and the other one's like, I finally get to just get out here and not be so competitive. So which one are you?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't like the competition. Like, I'm competitive. That's like a part of the reason that I like it too.
Ah.
And it's not even competing against like other artists. You can like compete against yourself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like numbers wise, or just how you feel your track sound now versus like 3 years ago. So, yeah.
Now, when you look back, because you're also an artist, like you said, 5 years in, but you don't have a lot of work out there. You have the EPs that are coming out, you have albums. Your first work that you dropped, what was the response like from fans, from family, from anybody when it first dropped? What was the response you were first getting?
People were loving it, like like everybody was loving it, and then like strangers were loving it, so then I knew it was real. So yeah, it was a pretty good response. When I first told my mom I was gonna do music, you know, she was kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. But But when she heard it, I got a good response from her too. So
what did she say? What did she say when she first heard it? Like, what was it that got her over the edge?
She liked the lyrics. She liked the lyrics and she liked the delivery. The first song that I wrote is called Energy. It's not really out right now, but it was kind of more of a like a neo soul, like I don't know, like a maybe like a more of a Sade vibe. So, you know.
Nah, it's good. That's good. And then the other thing too is like with this new group of artists that come out. I'm not gonna say group, like the new generation of artists don't seem to be held back by like a lot of stigmas that people in the 90s and the early 2000s came out with. Like you got Tyler the Creator does whatever type of music he wants to do whenever he want to do it. You know what I mean? Would you, of course, you know, Drake sings and raps. Sometimes it's just all singing, sometimes it's all rapping. You never know what you're going to get with an artist. What do you lean more towards? Is it more towards singing? Like, do you want to get to a goal where I'm like, I want to do neo soul and Sade type records? Or is it more of a rapping where I want to do more Don Toliver-ish type music where I'm kind of singing and rapping? Or do you want to go straight to rap?
I want to do whatever. I want to get to a point because I do like all different types of genres. Like I want to get to a point that I can just do, I just want to drop like whatever. And people just know that it's going to be good music each time. But as far as neo soul goes, I want to wait till later to do that kind of music. Definitely.
Yeah, because this electro pumped like vibe that I really like from you is really going, and your videos too. One tiny thing that your video that I really like that you did, your name's Jet the Third on the table, and what was that, R&R 1 on the table, you had Jet magazines. I was like, this nigga, I love it.
No, that's good. Who's responsible for doing a lot of the, as you are developing, like we like to talk to new artists too about the teams they're developing. So like people that work with you talking about behind the scenes, are you doing this all in your own? Or are you working with a group?
I'm working with, I've been recording and with this guy named John Allen Stevens. Do y'all know him? He's out of Houston, so that's the studio that I've been going to for the past like 3 years, and like really like working with him and like telling him what my vision is, like as far as my sound or just experimenting and trying out sounds and stuff. Like, I feel like that's been a big help, you know, as far as me being productive and putting out music.
And what was it about John that like stood out that you connected with in terms of what?
And, I also have been, y'all still on here?
Yeah, oh, wait. Right here. Oh, just 1 second. Let me. All right. And so what was it about John that you like you connected with musically? Like, what was it about him or the production or anything where you were like, okay, this is somebody that I connect with and want to work with?
First off, he just has a great ear. Like, I mean, he's an artist himself. He's a producer himself. So he has a great ear. So sometimes he just knows like what to do with my voice automatically, or sometimes he makes suggestions. And then because he's a producer, like he makes my songs better. Like he may add like an outro or something at the end, you know? So, I mean, and he's just easy to work with. Like the first few years I was doing music, the biggest thing that I ran into was like, some people just, they're just not easy to work with. And and when I found him, I was just like, oh my God, thank you. Because he's, I mean, it's just like a communication thing. It's just great. Like the workflow is great. So.
And then, I mean, talk about that too. Because a lot of people don't realize, like, I think people think, oh, I'm creating music. And so that person creates music, I create music. Cool, we'll go. And a lot of times it don't work like that. Like we're still people. So you might have a different vision than me, or I might, you know, somebody might be like, yo, I like you sounding like this on this. And you might be like, no, I don't like that at all. Like that kind of thing. So talk about like some of the problems you were running into, at least initially, in terms of finding the person to gel with and work with.
Like, It's this thing, like when I perform a track, I know that some of the notes that I hit are kind of like different. It's not just straightforward. So you can't just come in and like put me in a key, you know? And I would kind of tell that to some of the people that I recorded with, but they like kind of wouldn't listen, or they just had issues with like just mixing the song the way that I sang it. Like the way that I sing it is pretty much like how I want it to sound, if that makes sense, you know?
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so I used to run into a lot of problems with that, a lot of like wasted money. and just, you know, frustration. So, like I said, when I found John, it's like a blessing for real. And he's a good friend too, so, you know. And then I say the other person, that I would say is on my team is like the videographer that's done the past videos. D, he's out of Houston, and he's easy to work with too. And we may not have the biggest budget, but we make it work. Like, you know, so yeah.
I think that's what I like about a lot of y'all's stuff is that, okay, so even when you're talking about the key thing, it's not an off key thing. It's like, it makes everything sound, for lack of a better word, eerie. Like it sounds ethereal. Like it's like you keep the sound going, and I'm like, it don't sound like a lot of the other stuff the way it sounds like that. I'm like, yeah, she's singing, but the note is clear, but it's just a little off, and it's like, it makes it perfect. And then even on the videos just seem real mysterious. Like I was like, I don't know what they doing, but I was like, yo,
I'll be like, did I take acid? God damn. It's awesome, though.
Like, what are y'all thoughts when y'all go again? Like, some of the videos, like that, I just forgot the name of the song. That I'm letting on. I love that song. I love that video. Like, what are your thoughts when y'all are going into and you're like, I know you're like, oh, we don't have a lot of money, so we made it work, but it looks like somebody that has a lot of money that's trying to make. So I was like, y'all are accomplishing a lot. Like it looked like somebody that's like, yo, let's make this look like undergroundish. And what are y'all thoughts when y'all are about to create like imagery or videos?
we just come up with a plan. Like, I mean, D basically, he knows how to make stuff look good. So, I mean, I kind of tell him what I had envisioned, and then he kind of takes it from there. And I mean, that's what it's been the past few videos. So
that's fantastic. How is it being in Houston? We always ask this to all of the artists, and everybody has differences of opinion. Some people are like, oh, I got to go somewhere else. Some people are like, nah, it's building up. It's growing. I feel like everybody's at least honest about it, though. Like, they're like, oh, no, I love it here, but here are the ups and downs or that kind of thing. As a newer artist in this newer class of artists that are coming out in Houston, how has it been networking and moving through the city? And also, you know, if you've worked in other places as well, like Los Angeles, something like that, what are you seeing is the differences as the city over the last 5 years?
I mean, of course, like in LA, you have access to more opportunities, but I personally feel like Houston is growing artistically. I mean, the artists that are coming out of Houston, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it's growing. I don't hate it here.
No, it's fantastic. And then the other thing too is you were one of the artists that was featured for like the Houston Press, Women to Watch Out For. Houston just has a lot of women MCs that all sound different. It's a lot of difference amongst them. What is it like being a part of that new class of artists that you see that are kind of bubbling up? Or do you feel a part of that new class of artists?
I feel like I'm a part of it. I feel like I'm definitely different, but I'm a part of it, and I'm like honored to be a part of it, because like I don't know if it's ever looked like this before. So,
I would argue to say, I mean, I know people say that it has, but I'm like, I don't think it has. Like people will compare it to like early 2000, like, but that was a label. Like Swisher House was a moment. And that's believable. And a lot of things happened as Swisher House was coming out, and you had people at the tail end, but you kind of had to be Swisher House or Swisher House adjacent. And this is different. It's like random people popping
Yeah,
up from everywhere, but they
everywhere.
all just, oh, but I'm from Houston. And so that's why I would see is like one of the major differences. What are your plans on like album releases that are upcoming?
So R&R, I've dropped part one and part two. It's supposed to be three songs, and it's three parts. So volume three is gonna come out in June.
Okay. So then, what are the plans on like a full length album?
That would be after that, probably like in like November, probably in November.
Oh, so this year.
Huh? Yeah.
This year, we're getting a full length album.
Yeah, for sure.
We not gonna hold on. I'm about to say, don't make promises because people gonna be mad after a while. It's just like,
be
hey,
mad. I'm gonna
this
be
is.
mad.
Oh no,
No.
we look forward to all the work.
I play music randomly when I have, friends come over. Your music works really well. So
Wow.
I appreciate. I told
Thank
my brother that like when he told me we were interviewing you, and then I was like, when I did my research. And then I go back and I go, I haven't stopped listening. I said, people come through, they'll be like, who is that? I'll be like, oh, it's Jet the Third. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I showed the videos, hooked. I've gotten you like three other fans.
you.
Hey, look, hey, thank you. Don't thank me. Your music speaks to me, for real.
Thank
No,
you.
that's a, that is a huge thing. And again, like, yeah, don't let him paint you into a corner. Like, yeah, we got an album coming out this year. We just know we got an album that's
I'm mature.
planned, that's coming out. We're gonna focus on the third. Why was the decision to release the R&R in three parts?
I mean, just I have this thing with the number three, so and it's kind of like I almost feel like they're almost like mixtapes. The R&R stands for rare and ready, so I feel like they're like mixtapes to like introduce people to like to me as an artist, and also let them know that like I do different genres. Like everything's not going to sound the same, you know. It's kind of like an introduction, I guess you would say.
And R&R, why rare and ready?
Cause I'm rare and I'm ready. Like
I
introduction.
just had to make sure. I was making sure it wasn't deeper because I wanted to ask about R&R, and I also wanted to ask about like what is your thing with the number three?
Yeah, I just really like the number three. It's like it was in my basketball number. It was always so many things that are associated with the number three. I think, you know what? Hold on.
You
I have it written down here. It's
gonna
it.
Because I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what I don't follow the numerology stuff, so I don't know what
It down, but I just three is my favorite number. So
three is your favorite number.
it's
Okay.
mine too, so I feel you.
That for real? Maybe I am weird, dog. I don't have a favorite number.
Three and seven, mine.
That's immediately what I was thinking about, but I was like, yeah, I ain't got a favorite number.
Wow.
I don't. You know what I'm saying? Also, but some that kind of thing. Did you annoy? Were you one of those kids that was like annoying your parents with all
7. So it's kind of like I was an only child for a good amount of time.
Okay. So you
Crazy.
basically,
Because he only had 4 years until I came around.
yeah,
So,
that's
hey,
true.
that's crazy.
That is true. But yeah, your younger brother. In terms of him looking at the music, is he like excited that it's like, yo, I got a sister that's like blowing up?
Yes, he is.
Is
Yes,
he
he
like,
is.
put me in a video?
Not yet, but yeah, he's pretty excited. He puts everybody on, so yeah, it's
Sweet.
pretty cool.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. For you, your goal in music, like ultimately, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? Like when we look back 5, 10 years from now, what is it you want people to say about Jet the Third?
So for me, I attach music. I don't know if everyone does this, but I attach music to like my memories. Like every time I hear a song, I can just name what part of my life where I was when I first heard the song. And if the song is memorable, like if it gives me chills or just gives me this good feeling, I wanna do that same thing for everybody, like for as many people as I can. I wanna like provide them with that same feeling that I used to have like growing up listening to, you know, like when I heard Kanye West, like College Dropout for the first time, like Michael Jackson, Dangerous, like Thriller, like all of that, all the Sade songs, like my mom used to play, like the feeling that I used to get from those songs, I'm trying to give that same feeling to as many people as possible, because I know I am capable of giving it. So that's my goal.
No, that's fantastic. Because like, I know when I think like, yeah, I'm with you on like all those songs, especially classic songs. When I hear Stevie Wonder's Ribbon in the Sky, I always think about like our family reunion. Like I can literally picture me as a kid at family reunion. And now when I hear James Brown Get On Up, I'm gonna picture me falling in that chair. That's forever. Man. That's forever just emblazed in my brain. So yes, absolutely. Where can like fans find you and find your music?
So my music is on all streaming platforms. Jet the Third. It's on YouTube. I got a few videos up on YouTube, and then social media everywhere. Now it's just Jet_the_Third_.
Oh wait, and you know what? Before we
the third though. Wait. How do you spell Jet the Third though?
Yes. Very important. It's JETTHE3RD.
Yes.
Very important.
Also, where does that name? We know you got a thing for threes, but where does Jet come from?
Jet, that's my name. Those are my initials. JET, Joycelyn Yvette Taylor.
Okay. I thought it was like a basketball nickname or something like that. Like they was like, you know, what position did you play in basketball?
The 3, 4, and 5.
Really?
Okay.
I got a killer mid-range jumper. So you know.
That makes sense.
You ever think about getting back out there? You know, Master P and them, they got back out there late, but like it never left them. Like Master P still talk about like I should have gone and played pro. Like I don't even think he wanted to do music. He was just like, man, I got to do this. I always want to get back to basketball. Same thing with J. Cole. I think J. Cole just wants to play basketball.
Yeah. Not really. I still love it, but nah, I'm not that serious about it.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. So Jet the Third on all social platforms.
Awesome. Really want to thank you so much for coming in, or really staying in, and really just blessing us with your presence. Once again, we are fans of the people that we talk to. We're a fan of you and really want to thank you. And this has been another great interview with us because, well, this is in my humble opinion. I'm Avery Like a Very Nice Guy. That's my brother, Just Devon. And you could find us both at My Humble O on everything. Humbly yours. On My Humble Opinion Podcast. H-Town, it's too sweet. H-Town, it's too sweet.